True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here on a Monday. Glad to be with you. Joshua Briscoe of the Chiefs Radio Network going to join us here in just a little bit. Dig further into the Chiefs when we do that. We'll look around the rest of the NFL today as well. If you missed anything with Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats from the first hour, you can go back and listen to that for free on the Odyssey app. We've got everything coming on tap for you, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, WBC Delano's debut brew, Hatfield's Mama. A German Kolsch with a clean, crisp character that's smooth and refreshing. Make history with Hatfield's Mama, Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's debut brew, available at all three WBC brew pubs. We welcome you back in. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee, by the way, for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on KFH, all across the Odyssey station. So, Tommy, we've spent some time with the Chiefs. We'll spend some more time with the Chiefs as we make our way through. Losers 20-17 to the Eagles, 0-2. We will see what happens today with the Chargers and the Raiders. Somebody is going to be 2-0 in this division. It won't be Denver. If we look across the AFC, Cincinnati is now a clearly flawed team. All alone at the AFC North is Joe Burrow, we learned just within the last 30 minutes. We'll miss a few months here. Buffalo's going to be the class of this thing. I still like Baltimore the most, but Buffalo sure did look impressive yesterday. Pittsburgh looked a little different. Like that's the thing with the Chiefs. They're going to be in about the same position, I think, at the end of this as we already thought they were. I don't know that I ever thought they were going to be the one seed this year anyway. But I do think it's different than 2 years ago. 2 years ago, you could just say, they got Mahomes, they got Kelsey, they got, which I did, and they'll be fine. I don't think it's that simple this time. It's not as much of like, they got Mahomes, they got Kelsey, they got Andy Reid. If they just get to the playoffs, they'll be fine. I don't think that's the case. Like, they've got to play better now too. But I will say, we have not talked about this side of the ball yet. The defense has looked better than I thought it would. There are still problems with it. The pass rush, most namely to me, that's a problem. That's a pretty big problem. But other than that, like, I did not expect them to be able to hang that way in that game yesterday like they did. I don't know if it's sustainable. If it is sustainable, though, it's going to make all of this a whole lot better. They are going to be able to win some games ugly if they can get that kind of defense. So we'll see. I don't know how much you believe in that side. I think I'm still kind of in like wait and see mode with it, but I was impressed yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they shored up some of the issues that maybe they had in Brazil, that it was a much better outcome, I think, defensively for Steve Spagnuolo's crew in yesterday's game than it was the very first game of the season. I thought the run defense was pretty good when you're taking on Saquon Barkley. He still got his. He still got into the end zone, but he didn't run all over the Chiefs defense, which I thought was a positive. I thought the secondary outside of, I can think of that one deep ball to Devontae Smith that wasn't great coverage. But other than that, I felt like the secondary looked pretty solid. Really, it's the pass rush. Like, there's very little, if any, pass rush whatsoever. The only time that they were ever able to get any kind of even a little bit of pressure on Jalen Hurts was when they were blitzing. If it wasn't a blitz, they weren't able to do anything. And so, yeah, that's a little bit concerning for sure. I'm curious to know injury-wise what things look like as we move forward. I know that Mike Dana was hurt and he exited the game. Christian Fulton exited the game as well. He was kind of their big, you know, premier free agent that they signed during the offseason, and he was banged up during training camp and preseason and all of that. He exited the game yesterday as well. I'm curious to know what things are going to look like defensively for them from an injury perspective. But yeah, by and large, I felt like the defense, I mean, let's be real. They kept the Chiefs in the game yesterday. They kept them within striking distance. And had it not been overall for that defensive effort, especially on third downs, it could have been a much, much, much different outcome.
100% could have. There's no question. Austin asks us on YouTube, by the way, thanks for watching us on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Do you think Matt Nagy has anything to do with the offensive struggles?
No.
Their points per game. Here's where I think it's a little interesting. If you go back, since he's been the offensive coordinator, they're down points per game quite a bit. I don't think we can ignore it. I don't know if another offensive coordinator would be doing any better. But
this is not Matt Nagy's offense. If anybody thinks this is Matt Nagy's offense, you have not followed Andy Reid's career. This is Andy Reid's offense. This is his team.
Right.
In the same way that, yeah, Eric Bieniemy was the recipient of some really, really solid teams as offensive coordinator, it was Andy Reid's offense. It always has been Andy Reid's offense. He's an offensive guy. I think Matt Nagy can be a pretty convenient scapegoat in all of it, but this is not his offense. It's not his team. Will he last? I mean, who knows? I mean, he'll last throughout the course of the season, I'm sure. But it's not, I put very little of it on his shoulders. It's Andy Reid's team. It's his offense.
Yeah. It's obviously a different dynamic than exists in a lot of places because Andy Reid is still so involved, but I don't also want to totally gloss over the fact that in the three seasons prior to Nagy's return as the offensive coordinator, they were scoring just under 30 points a game. And then the three seasons he's been the offensive coordinator, they're at 21, 22, and 19 points a game. He was here in 22 when they were averaging 29 points per game, but he was not the offensive
coordinator. Yeah, he was the QB
coach at that point. So, it exists. Yes, it's there. I don't want to ignore it. I think it has something to do with it. Sure, I do. But it is the Andy Reid offense. Like, Reid, we know how involved in this Reid is. So without knowing, like, what specifically is Nagy doing, or Nagy, the old pitcher was Nagy, I suppose. Which part of that does he most directly affect? I'm honestly not sure, but there has to be something.
I don't know. I think you have to ask the question very simply: who's the play caller on this team? The play caller is Andy Reid,
right?
He always been the play caller. Like he's the guy that calls the plays. It's on him.
Nagy's doing something. Like he's doing. He's not just standing.
No,
there. Like
right.
Something during the week. Like he has a role on this team
for sure.
Obviously. So whatever it is, they've all got to be better, but they all also have been dealt a unique set of circumstances in that time. Also, so we'll find out. again, it's gonna be frustrating for the next few weeks still. It just is. How many of them can they figure out a way to win is the only question that really matters. And as I look around the AFC, they're not going to be the one or the two seed. That'll be Buffalo and Baltimore. But can they be the three? And who really cares at that point? Can they be the three? Can they just be a six seed? Like, can they? This might be the year the Chiefs don't win the division. Has anybody, like, that could happen. There were a lot of people that predicted that by the way, at the beginning of the year. It's fine. It's going to happen at some point. Maybe this is that year. Does it really matter? Probably not. Right? Because it's unrealistic to think they're going to be in a position to do that anyway.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks into the season, I think you also have to look at a couple of surprising teams. And I know it's very, very early, but yeah, we can talk about Baltimore. We can talk about Buffalo. I mean, obviously, they are the cream of the crop in the conference. But man, the Colts are 2-0. And Danny Dimes looks pretty damn good. The Jags are 2-0.
No,
they're 1-1, but they looked good yesterday.
Right,
They look like an improved team. There are some teams
the Chiefs
that
get to play in this stretch. By the way,
well, that's true. Like, they look like an improved team for sure under Liam Cohen.
They're definitely improved.
I mean, no doubt about that. I mean, I think that there are some other teams that are in the conference that, you know, you could. I mean, the Chargers. We'll see how they look tonight against the Raiders. We're talking about some teams that, I mean, this might be a transitional type year where we see some new teams coming in and being, you know, pretty talented.
Yeah, I'm just buckle up, Chiefs fans, because it's going to happen this year. Like, they're not going to all of a sudden turn this around and be, you know, 15-2 at the end of the year. I just don't see how that happens. It does, but that's not what, like, the focus, I think, over the course of this season will be, like, at what point are they playing good enough for us to say, okay, there it is, that team can win a Super Bowl. I don't think we're going to see that through the first 6 weeks of this season. So when does it come? Does it come? I think becomes that question. There are pieces that you like better than you liked a year ago. There really are. Like, the line being better is a big deal. But now you're missing a whole bunch of wide receivers again. So, you know, we'll get there. We're going to talk to Josh Briscoe about it here in just a couple minutes. Scheduled to be on the call there. I think he had a hint of panic last week. I'd be curious to get his take on this. Chiefs fall to the Eagles. They're 0-2. Take from it what you will. We'll be back with more on Sports Daily.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And that insider now, Joshua Briscoe of the Chiefs Radio Network, hopping on. So glad to have Josh in with us this year to help us navigate it. I'm not sure, Josh, that you would agree with that sentiment. The timing will be probably painful here for the next, I don't know, month and a half as the Chiefs have to navigate this. What did you make of the game yesterday? I'll be perfectly honest. They were more in it than I thought they would be. Especially considering how they looked offensively early, but they still fell short. What was your read on it?
I weirdly, even remaining deeply frustrated and in many ways deeply disappointed in these first 2 weeks on a whole variety of levels, I think I feel better today than I did when we talked last Monday. I don't think it would ever require much imagination to say that, well, the football team that lost to the Los Angeles Chargers, if you removed the uniforms, the names, the pre-existing expectations that you had, you said, okay, one team lost it in Brazil in week one. That team then gets the Philadelphia Eagles home. What do you think happens? And I think most of us would say, they probably lose that game to the better Eagles team if they lost it to the inferior Chargers team. And I think that the thing that has heartened me, despite still plenty of frustrations and plenty of real issues, the thing that has heartened me is that the defense was so much better against what I thought was a much steeper challenge. Not just with Hurts and the weapons, but with the offense on last night's game, even though, yes, this 0-2 start is literally unprecedented for Patrick Mahomes.
Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes a little bit here, Joshua. I mean, he was the only consistent form of offense for this team from start to finish in the game. I mean, he ran the ball a ton. He was able to get into the end zone at one point. But man, there were multiple times where I'm like, man, he's going to play 1-on-11 here. And I don't know if there's really even any kind of fix for this, or like, this is just what it's going to be for a while.
I think it's kind of what it's going to be for a while. Hopefully Xavier Worthy practicing late last week means that he's going to be available soon, if not Sunday night. I have no further info on that than you guys do, but that would be helpful. And even then, what does he look like when he returns? But I do think that's kind of it. You see this like superhero, Superman, do-it-all effort from Mahomes 2 weeks in a row, and I think, you know, notably enough, two losses, right? Because it's just it's a hard way to win football games, to make one guy ever do everything. The upshot is that in 99% of cases, you have a football team and an offense who's underperforming. You don't get to wave a magic wand and bring back a top 20 wide receiver in the league in week 7 and bring back top 40 wide receiver in the league whenever Xavier Worthy gets healthy. So there are now plans to re-inject the talent this offense needs at the weapon spots, or at least at the receiver spots, I should say. But then the questions remain about the running back room, the running game altogether, what's going on with the offensive line right now, the tight ends, Travis Kelce's tough start. So there are plenty of like very real issues that could absolutely derail this team's season, but there are also planned additions now, knowing that the two guys this offense was built around this year haven't been on the field these two games.
It's and Mahomes has not been perfect either. He's been Superman. He missed a throw to Tyquan Thornton. One of them. He hit one. He missed one. Like it's all there. So then the question becomes, okay. And I sent this to Tommy during the game. I said, by Halloween, I think this is going to be a very good team. Is that too little too late? Do you agree with that? And I'll make you make the call. Is this the year they don't win the West?
It's crazy, but like, not only am I still not ready to say it's the year they don't win the West, I'm not ready to say it's the year they're not in the AFC Championship game. Now, those are two different questions, right? You can make the AFC Championship game as a wild card team, and if you are looking at that back half of the season acceleration, then that's on the table. In fact, not only is Halloween not too late for me, I think it might be 3 days too early for me. Because here's where I've kind of settled now, okay? And I said this before the Eagles game. I might have said this to you guys last week, so it's not brand new here. But if they're 3-3 when Rashee Rice gets back, I think that's okay. The crazy thing is they might be 4-5, and I could see them ending this season 12-5. And that's not just blind optimism, blind homerism. It's the back half of the schedule being softer. And look, 4-5, under 500, more than halfway through the season, is unthinkable in the Patrick Mahomes era. But I think if they are at that point, if Xavier Worthy, I'm giving you some ifs here, but Rice is back, if Xavier Worthy is healthy enough to play like himself in that second half of the season, I really do think you're going to get the best version of the defense from Steve Spagnuolo, which I still think has a pass rush problem, but I can see the defense looking fundamentally better in that second half. The offense will be fundamentally different with Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. So I really do think, for me, because they play the Bills on November 2nd. The next game in Denver after the bye week, from that point on, you might have to win out in this view, where you're 4-5 at that, losing to the Bills. But I really do think from that bye week on, they could look like a, again, fundamentally different football team, really on both sides of the ball.
We got to talk about Travis Kelce a little bit. I mean, obviously the critical dropped ball resulted in the interception. That was really the turning point in the second half, right? Like that was really the play that should have been a touchdown, but turned into points the other way. And then the Chiefs weren't able to, you know, get anything going after that. Is this something that, you know, as Travis Kelce is getting older, that we just kind of have to start thinking like we're not going to be able to see the incredible plays from him as often or as frequently, or is that just a fluky thing that happens sometimes?
I want to say it's at least mostly kind of in the fluke category, because you do have to make that adjustment for what you expect from him, as you kind of have a little bit over these last couple of years. He's still been very good and extremely important to the offense. But if the Xavier Worthy bump or that drop turned pick that's, I mean, like you said, totally game-changing play. What's crazy to think about it is with all these teams' flaws, if he makes that catch at this point, which again feels kind of bonkers considering the tone that we're all kind of stuck in. But those are mental mistakes, focus mistakes. In some ways, maybe that's more concerning or more frustrating because that's the thing you don't expect him to have. He and Mahomes last week had the moment of not really quite being on the same page, which is also kind of alarming in its own way. I'd think that you do need to expect that this offense, again, this offense was retooled to be a Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce in that order offense this offseason, where Kelce's kind of the offbeat bitch. He's the guy. We're going to feed Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, and we're going to live just fine that way. Obviously, that hasn't been an option, and so it's okay. Well, you guys, Kelce, that wasn't the plan in training camp. So I think Kelce just has to kind of wear a couple brutal mistakes in both of these first two games. I think you adjust expectations for him accordingly, but it's even hard for me to evaluate him in such a similar spot to last year where you go, oh, never mind. We once again need to rely on Kelce maybe a little too much.
Yeah, they definitely have to rely on him a little too much right now. I want to go back to something you said about the schedule and the timing. If you go back to 23, they had a stretch of games where they were 2-4. Right, which at the time seemed unfathomable. We may have a stretch to open this season of 6 games where they go 2-4. And the optimist's take is so easy to find. It's like, guys, they've done this before and won Super Bowls. They literally went 2-4 after the bye week 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. They may start this season 2-4. I think the bigger questions are when they get full strength. Is full strength going to be enough this year? I think those are two different things, because I do think they'll turn it around. The optimist take for me is that the defense has been better than I thought it would be. I mean, it has. I got to be fair to it. It's been a better defense than I thought it would be. And I don't know that the offense is going to be what I thought it would be, which is back closer to the great offense. What's the middle ground? And is that a formula enough when you get to the postseason? We all assume they're going to get there to beat the Ravens or the Bills on the road.
I know I'm looking ahead to things that we won't know for another month or whatever, but if you tell me in January I have an offense with Patrick Mahomes, an offensive line who's figured this out a little bit, who's spent some time together, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce as your 1-2-3, and Steve Spagnuolo doing the things that he did to Jalen Hurts yesterday, I'm going to have a very hard time talking myself out of that being a legitimate Super Bowl contender. So it is based on, this might be the thing that you have to stretch a little bit for it. It's based on what they have been and what I think they're going to be, not necessarily what we've seen them be so far this year. But I do still think that, yeah, it put this team in the playoffs and figure out who exactly is enthusiastic about, oh no, these are the washed up Chiefs. These are the Chiefs that don't have the power anymore. Because I just don't think that's going to be how anyone is viewing them, assuming that there is better health in January and better availability than there's been in September.
I agree with both of you guys when you talk about the defense being better in general, like being better from top to bottom. I mean, I think that the effort yesterday shows that altogether. The only concerning thing for me, Joshua, is the fact that it seems like the pass rush is basically non-existent right now defensively for Kansas City. Is that something that you think that Chiefs fans are going to just kind of have to live with again? Like, hey, they're going to be from top to bottom a solid defense, secondary looks better, et cetera, et cetera, and knowing that they may not have a great pass rush, or is that something that can come along too?
I don't know. Here's the thing that bothers me now is that it is basically the same unit it was last year, And we had this conversation throughout so much of the season last year. But you could say, well, you hang your hat on some like Chris Jones dominant performances, and he's still been good this year, but not great. And I could really pass up on the bleep talking to the opposing quarterback while they're kneeling at the clock. That's neither here nor there. I am probably the most frustrated and remaining hopeful with George Karlaftis, because they give him the big contract. They say, hey, we're going to lock you up long term because we think you're the guy to kind of take the baton from Chris Jones. And I don't think that was ever fair to Karlaftis, frankly. But I mean, he does have frequently, he's had his best games later in the season and in the playoffs. I don't know that there's just like a play more games and get better path that I'm like hanging my hat on there. But Charles Aminihu and Mike Dana obviously ends up getting hurt. We'll see what happens with him. Ashton Gelati has looked pretty all right in his time out there. Omar Norman-Lott got a sack in his debut. Jerry Tillery played less yesterday than he did in week one. Derek Nnadi's not giving you any pass rush push. So, I mean, these are the guys. They didn't make a move for a Za'Darius Smith or a Jadeveon Clowney, and I frankly didn't really expect them to. A few years back, they went and grabbed Melvin Ingram when things were looking a little bit out of sorts. I don't really think there's a move like that on the horizon. I think you ask for a little more from the rookies here and there. That's not a fix, though. I think it's probably going to be the adjustment we saw yesterday, which is that Spags is just dialing up even more exotic pressures depending on the opponent. And I just think you're going to need even more from Chris Jones, and certainly more from the guys not named Chris Jones. They have to win some one-on-ones.
And they're going to have to do it against a guy who looked pretty good against the Cowboys. I think all of us were just a little bit annoyed to see the Giants play well, but they did. They played well offensively. It's like, come on, man. We were counting on that one. Can you just chill a minute here, Giants? But they did offensively look pretty good. That'll be Sunday Night Football next week. Boy, if they don't get that one, I'm not terribly worried about it, but The Giants look better than we thought they would this week. So who knows? It's the NFL. Raiders, Chargers tonight, real quick. Joshua, I assume the answer is Chargers here. But who do you think is the bigger threat right now in the AFC West? And we can include Denver in there, even though they lost.
It's kind of funny because I feel like Denver was getting all that love. And now, again, like you said, they're down to 1-1. Man, some like remarkably wacky games yesterday. What a league. That's fun. I came into the season being higher on the Raiders than most people, and I feel good about that. I don't think they're going to win the AFC West. I have come in multiple years higher on the Chargers than I should have been. I don't really think they're going to win the AFC West. I think the Broncos are fundamentally flawed at quarterback. I am not a Bo Nix believer, but I am kind of a Sean Payton believer. The thing that I cannot believe that I'm saying is the Broncos defense for real? Like, all of the preseason hype that they got as one of the best units in football, is that defense for real? It just merely got owned by Daniel Jones for a week. That's my question for the AFC West. Is Daniel Jones the guy throwing off our calibrations for how good the Broncos defense may be? Something I cannot imagine having said before the season. I cannot believe the Colts are 2-0, and I don't believe in them at all still. But maybe I should. I kind of want to give the edge to the Broncos, even though they just lost to a team that I don't think very highly of. And maybe for me, that's the argument for why the AFC West is very, 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 very far from settled right now. Because we're going to find out tonight. One of these, if the Raiders go out and beat the Chargers tonight, we have to put a little more respect on what they're turning around there. And I think that's deserved. They got a coach and quarterback, and it raised the water level for the entire organization. That's how it worked when Andy Reid and Alex Smith got here. I think that there's an argument to be made that the Raiders are fully turning around now. So it's a really, really good division. And funnily enough, the Chiefs would probably benefit from it just beating itself up this year. And you hope that you can win the division with 11 or 12 games.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think all three teams are better than they have been, but that may be the thing that saves the Chiefs. How many times did Pete Carroll win the division in the NFC West with teams we thought were not going to be very good? So I can't wait for that game tonight. Josh, we appreciate it. Chiefs Radio Network returns next week, Sunday Night Football. You'll hear it all right here on KFH. Thanks for being here, man. There goes Joshua Briscoe of the Chiefs Radio Network. Man, what a weird time What a weird time to be alive in the AFC West, Tommy. Who you taking tonight, by the way, in Chargers Raiders?
I think I'm still leaning Chargers. I think it's just, you know, the Raiders are I think that they're for sure on the come up, but they're unproven, right? Like, they're just, it's not there yet. Like, I'm not fully a believer, but I am a believer in what the Chargers are doing. So, at least early on in the season, it may flip-flop when these two teams play later on this season for a second time, but at least for tonight, I'm going Chargers.
They got to go on the road after the Brazil trip. That is, I think, something to watch. I think it's going to be an awesome, I think both of these games tonight are going to be pretty good. I think
they're going to be fun. You know, it's funny. We've gone basically this entire show talking Chiefs and really not spent much time on the tush push, right? Like, that really hasn't been like much of the conversation around it.
Do you change your mind? Are you with me now that we can just get rid of that stupid thing? I hate that play so much.
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna keep it, you have to actually officiate it. You have to actually legislate it.
Did you hear Dean Blandino? Oh, like, yeah. He's like, guys, I'm over trying to analyze the tush push.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's different every time. Like, it's not good for football.
Yeah.
And that's been my point with it. It's not good for the game.
I've been very firm and consistent, though, from the game yesterday. The Chiefs didn't lose because of the tush push.
No.
There were a lot of other reasons why that certainly didn't help. It didn't help that they didn't get any of the calls. They didn't lose because of it. You can miss me with that argument. Anybody out there who has that, I don't buy it. Certainly didn't help, though.
They missed a deep ball to Thornton. Yeah. Kelce dropped a touchdown. Like, that was not the reason they lost. But it's annoying. Very much so. We'll come back. Last full segment for two.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Well, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad you're here with us. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. Tommy, we got to go play golf. We're in a drought.
I know. It's been a little bit.
We're in a steady drought, and I know the reasons why. You've got a big promotion. I've been insane with the other life, with the TV and the fair and HTO, and I don't know what's going to change, because we're about six nights a week tied up with kids' sports this time of year, too. But it's also the best time of year to play golf out of Crestview Country Club, so we're going to have to just chisel away some time. You know, maybe stretch the truth a little bit with our wives and tell them we've got some mission critical meeting we've got to be at, and we sneak away. I don't know what it's going to take, but we're going to have to get out there, because it is the best time to go play golf at Crestview Country Club. 36 holes to choose from. It's not swampy. It's not hot. It's almost perfect every day out there right now. Give them a call. Great time to join. Get in there. Check out all the golf. See what you can work out. Give Todd a call. Tell him we sent you. And come say hi to Tommy and I, because we're out there a lot, and we love chatting it up with all the listeners that are out there, sometimes talking trash, at least to me, when I'm making my way through the golf course and I'm given a hard time. Always appreciate that. So thanks to Crestview. Let's look around the rest of the NFL, Tommy. It was a wacky day. Lots of points, except for last night, but lots of points around the league. The Jets, that was a mirage. I think we can safely say that thing we saw in week one. The Lions flex back a little bit. That probably, like, for somebody like me who thought they were being a little overdone on how they might fall this year, that made me feel better. Ravens flex huge. We talked about Joe Burrow. The Rams continue to look very impressive. The Patriots, Patriots, Dolphins, Tommy, Patriots look good, or the Dolphins just suck?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think the Patriots are definitely improving, and I think that they will be an okay team by the end of the year. And I think the Dolphins are basically in free fall. I mean, I know that they battled back and they were able to, you know, get back into the game, but man, like, Tua, there were moments he looked awful. And just, you know, offensively, I don't feel like they have it.
The Cowboys survive the Giants in overtime. You asked me when they were losing, what would it mean if they lost? My answer to you was nothing, because they're not going to they're not going to win anything this year anyway. It's why I didn't think they should re-sign Micah Parsons to all that money. Like, it's part of it because they're not quite good enough yet. But they'll be good enough to win a bunch of games they probably play this year and do these kinds of things. But it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, relating it back to the Chiefs with the Giants, I posted this on social media yesterday. If anybody thinks that the Chiefs are going to waltz into MetLife Stadium on Sunday night and just run all over the Giants, you didn't watch that game yesterday. And I know Russell Wilson is on the downward trend of his career and all of that, but he made some throws yesterday that were vintage Russ. And they're a very desperate team. Brian Daboll is trying to keep his job. Russell Wilson is trying to keep his job. Like, they're desperate. That's a dangerous spot, I would say, in primetime Sunday night football for the Chiefs to go to New York.
He can still throw lots of moon balls to Malik Nabers. And I just keep having this thought in my head for the Chiefs that Cam Scadabo is going to be a problem for them. As he kind of opened up his role in that offense a little bit yesterday. So that game happened. Seahawks Steelers. So this is why, Tommy, like, I like to watch the red zone because it tells me the Broncos should not have lost the game to the Colts. The Colts actually missed the game winning field goal. And then there was a penalty.
They got to do it again.
Shot at it. And if you weren't watching that, you probably wouldn't have even seen that that happened. You would have just seen the Colts make the game winning field goal. The Steelers and the Seahawks is another example of that. There was an interception in the end zone that like bounced off a dude. The Steelers didn't realize on the new kickoff rules that you can't let it just bounce into the end zone and Seattle recovers it for a touchdown. You can talk about a weird one. That was a weird game, but it looks like Seattle went to Pittsburgh and just housed them. That's not really what happened in that game. So I thought that was an interesting one as we continue to kind of watch the Aaron Rodgers experiment. The 49ers get a win without their quarterback, without their star tight end. Cardinals win. I'm just trying to go through the rest. The one that probably merits a little bit of talk here. The game last night, the Falcons beat the Vikings 22-6. J.J. McCarthy, I thought the crew last night on Sunday Night Football did a really good job with it. Like, he's played one good quarter of football and seven bad quarters of football. But I would say this, like, what did anybody expect by all accounts, a rookie stepping in? Like, it's going to take them some time. But do you think the Vikings can end the season as good as they did a year ago with Sam Darnold as the quarterback, who kind of did the opposite, right? Was great and then fell off a cliff at the very end of the season. I still kind of think it's going to be a rocky start. And by the end of it, I do believe in J.J. McCarthy. I think he'll be a whole lot better late in the season than he is right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's really not any kind of body of work to back that up. That would just be a gut reaction or a gut feeling from you. Yeah, I know obviously he, you know, did really well in Michigan and all of that. But this is a completely different world for him.
I just like it. Prospect.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Like he, you know, has the makings to be really good. But if you're not able to take advantage of the fact that you've got a really good team around you and you've got really good talent around you and Justin Jefferson, Jalen Naylor, TJ Hawkinson didn't even get targeted until late in the ball game. And he's one of the best tight ends in the entire NFL. If you can't take advantage of the fact that you've got a tremendous amount of talent around you, it's going to be really hard to be able to continue, you know, getting better week by week. Will he be better? Sure. I mean, I think that that's impossible. You know, he's not going to be this bad at the end of the season, but there's a reason why I've got the Vikings missing the playoffs. There's a reason why I don't have them, you know, I have them being, you know, not great in the NFC North just because of the fact that we don't know what we're going to get from J.J. McCarthy.
Well, we're going to get a rookie quarterback.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is what we're going to get. So at best, he's going to go through times of struggle this year because rookies just do that. Or at some point in the first couple of seasons, Jaden Daniels has had his lumps this year. CJ Stroud certainly had them last year. It just takes a minute for young quarterbacks to find their groove. Look at Josh Allen. Look at Lamar Jackson. Like it takes a minute. So when you're the Vikings and you're kind of putting all your eggs in that basket, there's sort of this unique outlier in this. And that outside of quarterback, no matter who it is, they are 100% a Super Bowl caliber roster, right? They have some injuries on defense and some things they're dealing with. So does everybody else. But now you're entrusting the ship to a guy who's never done it before. And that is risky, right? That's risky. And last year they hit a home run with Sam Darnold. I don't know how you could look at it any other way, but it was risky last year too. I like McCarthy. Well, it's pretty hard not to love what you see from McCarthy, like all the intangible stuff when he's not playing. It's really a question of like, can he play the position at a high level? I liked him as a prospect. I had him behind Caleb Williams, and I think I had him in like a 2A, 2B with Jaden Daniels as far as like a prior of that class that I think they're all actually going to be pretty good.
I also think it's fair to say in my mind that it's less about JJ McCarthy. And it's more about the talent in that division.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Packers and the Lions are phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you've entrusted a championship caliber roster to a quarterback in an extremely difficult division who's never done it before. That's the key factor for me. He could be a really good quarterback with his mechanics and his, you know, athleticism and playmaking, all the different things that he can bring to the table. But when you're taking on the juggernauts of the Lions and the Packers, and I would even argue the Bears are going to take a step forward this year. That's an extremely difficult division. It might be the most difficult division in all of football. And you're leaving your offense and your hopes and dreams on the shoulders of a guy who's never been there.
I don't remember how good the AFC West was when Mahomes took over from Alex Smith, but you do have the same dynamic. Alex Smith was really good for the Chiefs. And he had him in the playoffs, and he had him with a puncher's chance every year. It's what Sam Darnold did for him last year. They could have brought Sam Darnold back, right? They turned it over to the rookie.
They could have had Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers wanted to play for the Vikings. They could have kept Kirk Cousins. You know, like and so that's, I think, at the end of the day, what is going like where people are going to judge this team at the end of this year, next year, the year after is all the what ifs. If it doesn't work out with JJ McCarthy,
correct,
you had the opportunity for all of these other quarterbacks and you chose McCarthy.
Well, that's what, you know, so the Chiefs do the same thing and Mahomes takes it and runs obviously immediately. McCarthy's not going to do that. So what can he do by the end of it? I think watching him of the rookies this year, because we got such a good look at everybody last year. I'm with what Joshua Briscoe said. I don't think Bo Nix is the next coming. I think he might be okay, but I don't think
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they're all going to have staying power. I think the class was an incredible quarterback class. But which ones are the best? We need more time. Have you not thought Caleb Williams looked better this year than he has looked better this year than he did last year? Like, it's going to take a little time. McCarthy just happens to be on the team, maybe, of all of these teams with the most talent around him. Like, he was probably dropped into the most ideal situation for a quarterback. And now he's got to put up, and he did not last night against the Falcons. Tonight, we get some good ones. I'm excited for Bucks Texans. I'm excited for Chargers Raiders. I love when we get the doubleheaders. There is no way in hell I can stay up late enough with this show for, what do we got, an 8 o'clock? Is it an 8 o'clock or
it's
is
like
it
a
9?
Nine o'clock.
Is it a true
it's like
nine
a
9 o'clock
I think
kick?
It's a 9 o'clock kick.
Like, I got to try to make it through the first half of that game, and that's the game I really want to see. But we'll get there. That'll be, we'll cook it up. But both of those games look like they're going to be really good. Texans are 2.5-point favorites at home. I'll probably take the Bucks there. And we picked Raiders, Chargers. I took the Raiders. I just think it's a big ask for the Chargers to come back, go on the road, get the hook. Not get the hook. The Raiders get the hook at 3.5. I think they're both going to be a lot of fun. I hope we get some points. The last night was disappointing after the wild day of scoring to have that field goal fest.
Yeah, it was rough. And I mean, I think that it tells you a lot about the Falcons as well. I think it tells you about Michael Penix Jr. I think it tells you, obviously Bijan Robinson is the top of the class in the NFL running the football. The Falcons, we'll see how the Bucks respond tonight in the game against the Texans, but man, the Falcons looked pretty impressive yesterday.
Well, I mean, Penix didn't look that much better than McCarthy. He just didn't throw the interceptions. The Bucks beat the Falcons last year, of course, and if Emeka Egbuka is that dude and they get Godwin back with Evans and all the weapons that they have, the Bucks probably are going to have something to say here. And I think that's cool, too, because Baker Mayfield is fun to watch. All right, we'll come back. We got more Sports Daily. Stick around here. It's all Brock and Castor on a Monday.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.